Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. Each podcast is themed, and I interview and ask questions from a specialist who's also the owner of a small business, just like us. If you're a business owner of a micro business, then I hope that this sparks your thinking, answers some questions that you may have, and that you get some tips on the subject that helps you move your business forwards. I do hope that you enjoy the podcast. I very much enjoyed recording it. Hello, and welcome to this week's Boardroom Buddies podcast. And this is coming near to the end of this series. So we've only got three or four more. And when I was looking at the topics that we covered, I realised that there were some kind of fundamentals that we hadn't covered. And one of them is health and safety. Now, nobody groan, because I know that quite often health and safety is one of those, oh, have we really got to? But actually, my guest today is going to enlighten you a little bit more and make you, I hope, see the importance of health and safety and how it can benefit you. Not just the individuals in the business, but also the benefit to the business itself. So this week, I am delighted to welcome Rebecca Docker of Zebra Safety, who delivers health and safety solutions to companies big and small. And she's been in it for a little while, from a child, 25 years. So she knows her stuff. She's also a chartered member of IOSH and on the Health and Safety Executives Register of Consultants. So she definitely knows her stuff. And so it might be worth a quick listen. So welcome, Rebecca, and thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Morning, Jackie. Lovely to be here.
Great to see you. So, sorry, for those people who are listening, we also have it on YouTube. So you can also watch the video if you want to see what we look like. Right. Okay, let's get into it. So, Rebecca, tell me about your business.
So Zebra Safety has been going for 5 years now. So I set up my own consultancy business after leaving employment. So, yeah, as you said, I've done health and safety for 25 long years. So I've seen a lot of really brilliant practice and also seen some not so good behaviours and details within businesses. So, yes, I've seen a lot. So obviously I can put that to good use with having my own consultants.
Yeah. So you've been in business for a little while. I know you're based in the Midlands. Do you work, you know, kind of outside of the Midlands area?
Yes, so I have clients all across the UK. So yeah, we do travel as we need to go and see them and inspections and all that kind of stuff.
Lovely. Okay. And what sort of clients do you work with?
There's a huge range. So from kind of, I also say, from mortgages to motorhomes to operational businesses, pharmaceutical companies, doctors' practices, charities. So, yeah, a little bit of everything, actually, which is great, which keeps the variety really good.
Oh, right. OK, so a whole range of disciplines then, through from construction to kind of office service based organisations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and manufacturing?
Yeah, and manufacturing.
Yeah, so, gosh, there's the health and safety needs then of those organisations vary such a lot.
Absolutely, and this is sometimes what happens when clients do come to me, is that they may not understand what is specific for their business. So health and safety is very specific, like you should never kind of generically do anything or try and whitewash. So each business is different, and I think that's the approach, and this is why our clients come to us and stay with us, is because they have that bespoke package. So we'll never oversell, give them, you know, stuff that they don't need or will find useful, but ensure that they're compliant and they're doing everything that they need to keep people safe.
So that sounds like it's not, health and safety is not one of those things you can just kind of go on to Google and download someone else's health and safety policy.
You shouldn't. And obviously I've had clients that have done that before. So they've kind of gone onto Google or gone onto the HSC website and kind of fumbled their way through it. But then at the end of it, because they're not what's classed as a competent person, they don't know if it's enough. They don't know if it's right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that the HSC is a legal requirement, that all businesses should have a competent person with the necessary skills, knowledge, experience to be able to judge, you know, and help and support that the business is doing everything that they should for health and safety.
Right. So does that apply even if it's a, you know, a tiny one-man band sort of thing, like me, really, in my little office?
Yes. So there is a bit of a threshold with health and safety. So if you have five or more employees, that's when health and safety kicks in. So that's the stage where you need to get the basics right. So, for example, you should have a health and safety policy. You should have risk assessments for the activities that are being done. You should train staff so they know how to do the job safely. So there's a few bits and bobs that kind of, when you get to that five-person threshold, that's really the time when actually you need to potentially be looking at a competent person.
Ooh, but does that make it sound like below five, anything goes?
Yeah, it just literally depends on the level of risk. So it depends on the level of risk. You know, when you kind of get to five, you have to have it written down. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have stuff in place, but you should have it written down. So, for example, you know, a tree surgeon where it's quite high risk, obviously working at height, using machinery, that kind of thing, then, yeah, they really, for that level of risk, they should have their safe working practices documented. They should train staff and that kind of thing. So that's the thing. It's very kind of, it just literally depends on, obviously, the business activities and also potentially the size as well. But this is kind of where people become unstuck because they think, well, do I need to do it? What do I need to have? And, yeah, unless you've kind of got that level of experience, it can be difficult to work it out.
Yeah, so is that a compliance thing? You know, if you've got less than five people, is anybody going to kind of come along and say, oh, you should be doing this or that or the other, or do they leave it to the discretion of the owner?
So you have to have things written. Once you get to five, you have to have your documentation written down. So you have to have your safe working practices written down. So should you be audited by the HSE, they'll be able to see that. But less than that, you should still be doing that, but potentially not as documented as you would for a larger company, if that makes sense. There's always that duty. That duty is always still there. Once you have staff, you've still got that relationship. You've got that duty of care for them, which is really important.
Right.
And then you have to put the necessary measures in place to ensure that that person can do their job safely and not go home injured at the end of the day.
So you could have just two people, and whilst you might not have to go put all the formal things in place in writing, you still... have a duty of care.
Yeah.
And how is that applied? You know, if you had, say, talking about, say, a tree surgeon operation, and there was, you had, you know, you're the owner and then a couple of people doing it, there was an accident. What kind of implications is that for a micro, real small micro?
So ultimately, as we've said, the duty of care is still there. So they would still have to ensure that they've trained staff to make sure that they can do the role safely under the aspects. But the kind of the key consequences of not having correct health and safety in place is potential prosecution from the HSC. You could have employee liability claims. So that's where, you know, we live in a claim culture, unfortunately, nowadays. So if anything should happen from a work perspective, you know, you've got your no-win, no-fee solicitors that will support anybody to have a claim.
Right. So I think this is a really useful point. Even though you don't have five employees, you have a duty of care, and you are at risk of prosecution, should there be an accident and you have not fulfilled that duty of care?
Absolutely. So sometimes you can have both. So, and they do tend to go one in hand with each other. So you will have a prosecution from the HSC, which could lead to a fine. Potentially, you know, should the worst happen, this corporate manslaughter, where directors of companies can go to prison, but you've also got employer liability claims as well. So that person would also sue you for some compensation for the harm that they've suffered whilst working for you. So a little minefield, really, that of the potential consequences.
Yeah.
And company owners, directors, that kind of thing should be aware of this.
So if you are the owner of a small business, you are still at risk from being prosecuted and maybe worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're a partner as well.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a limited company. So anybody with ultimate responsibility for health and safety, then they are at risk of prosecution.
Interesting. Okay. Because a lot of small businesses who don't or are not yet incorporated or not going to be incorporated don't really think about it, do they?
And it's one of those things that kind of gets put hand in hand, like, say, for example, for insurance, that, what do we need it for? You only need it when something really bad happens, and it's the whole won't happen to me scenario tend to have. But, as we all know, that, the HSC produce statistics every year saying about how many people have been injured and killed at work. So, we all know it does happen, but it is the whole it's not going to happen to me scenario that some people can take.
Yeah. I remember years ago when I was part of the kind of MBQ training world, and an apprentice was up on the mezzanine floor bit, and he was 18, and he was up there on his own and fell and died, that kind of thing. It was a small business.
Absolutely. And sometimes they can tend to be, because small businesses can potentially not put the health and safety stuff in place, because obviously it's a resource, it costs money. So sometimes, companies put their heads in the sand about it.
But if you're a business that doesn't do anything too risky, maybe the most risk is, going out in your car, to visit a client, for instance, or do a networking meeting or a business development meeting. What about your responsibilities then?
Yeah, they're still valid. So in the scheme of the world, there's, so many different risks, from working on computers like display screen equipment to, working with heavy duty machinery and working from height, all that kind of stuff. So for office related activities where they're using a computer, potentially driving to go and see a client, all that kind of thing, there's still basic health and safety aspects that need to be managed. So, for example, ensuring that they carry an annual DSE assessment, a display screen equipment. We love an acronym in health and safety.
Of course, yeah.
So just making sure that they've got everything that they need to be able to be comfortable at work, and, for example, driving licence checks, to ensure that they're actually valid to drive, because if they're driving on behalf of the business, it's the company's responsibility to ensure that their cars have correct MOT insurance, business insurance, that kind of thing. So there's still, even though they're potentially lower risk, there are still aspects that need to be addressed and managed. So lone working, for example, if somebody's obviously going to go and see a client, what time they're supposed to be there, is it in their calendar, what time they'll be back, do they need a buddy? So there's still lots of things to consider, but potentially it's viewed as lower risk.
And I think maybe with a smaller business, it seems to have tripped over more to the health perspective, with your DSE assessments and things. So how do you keep your people safe, so to speak?
Absolutely. So in league with safety is health, well-being, all that kind of stuff, which is brilliant now. And obviously mental health had a big, finally had a bit more of a awareness over the past few years, which is brilliant. So it all contributes to the way that people behave when they're at work. And obviously, a happy and safe employee is more productive, will have less time off sick, and ultimately will help the business operate in a more efficient manner. So looking after staff is increasing more and more, every day, which is brilliant. That's the way it should be.
Brilliant. Okay. So how do you kind of help a small or micro business become aware or embed health and safety when it's something that's not really on their radar? What do owners of micros need to consider?
So it would depend on the activities that they carry out. So we offer an audit, so a health and safety audit to start off with. There are key aspects of health and safety that could be applicable to their type of business. We will go through, look at the arrangements that they've got in place and to see if they're up to standard what is needed. So, and then obviously then we'll put together an action plan to detail to address any areas that potentially are non-compliant or missing the trick. So, so it just depends. Obviously, all businesses are different, so they have different needs and they have different health and safety risks. So it's just ensuring that, you know, each client has a bespoke package to address them. Because so many clients come to us and say, I don't know what we need. I don't know what we need. Because, you know, there's so many different health and safety topics, from control of substances to noise to manual handling to working at height to using computers. There's so much, many different topics. If you don't know what is applicable, then it's so hard for businesses to take that action.
Interesting. So I suppose we've laboured on the risks and what can go wrong and prison and all that kind of stuff. But what about the benefits of, you know, health and safety accreditation and training and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we've already touched upon as well, obviously having good health and safety measures in place will make your workforce more efficient potentially. But also as a business, so for example, so I have quite a few operational businesses. So for example, like electrical contract, gas installation, all that kind of thing. And if they, and obviously businesses want clients, want new work. So if they, for example, want to work for local authority, for the council, they won't get their foot through the door unless they have some kind of accreditation. So, for example, for smaller businesses, well, not necessarily smaller, but just not on the ISO level of accreditation. So there are schemes such as, say, contractor CHAS construction line, which the client has to verify that they do have these measures of health and safety in place that have been assessed, and then they're accredited. And therefore, then they will hopefully find getting new clients and getting new work or any projects a lot easier, and it will give them the kind of the edge over others that don't. So from a business perspective, definitely to be able to demonstrate that you've got a good health and safety arrangements in place, then that's key.
Okay. Something came into my head then and it's gone again. That's how you were talking. It's all been quite interesting, and I know we've laboured a bit on risk and stuff like that. But from a crawl point of view, as a business owner, do you think people take it on board, or is it just a nuisance thing to have?
I think having my own business and with clients that have their own businesses, ultimately, you know, we never really switch off, I think.
I
think sometimes if, you know, you feel that you're not managing your health and safety well, you know, you won't sleep at night. It's kind of that, you know, you've got people that work for you that you've never, you know, from a moral perspective, never want any harm to come to them for work for your business. So absolutely the moral aspect is huge, and probably, you know, the big, and we've all got that kind of, you know, nobody wants any harm to come to anybody else. So as a business owner, it makes no difference really.
So what about where people are working from home now? Is there a, what kind of responsibility does the owner of a business have for their employees working at home?
So it's still exactly, ultimately the duty of care is still there, but they will need to make sure that the environment that the person working in is suitable and safe. So for example, you can have home workers risk assessment to ensure that the environment that they're working in is safe. Obviously, from a liability perspective, it's a little grey because this is that person's home, but ultimately they're still carrying out work duties and that duty of care is still there. So they will still need the correct setup for using a laptop, all that kind of things.
Right.
still a duty of care then.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And has that been difficult for business owners, do you think, in the past few years?
Yeah, so obviously, do we talk about the C word?
Yeah.
Talk about COVID times. Yeah, so obviously the world completely changed, and everybody ended up working from home potentially, on their kitchen tables or not with the correct kit and stuff. So, in a good way, the world has changed, and we are a more flexible, I think, kind of a
Yeah.
work-life balance now, which is obviously a positive thing. But yeah, so I think it's not as a difficult subject as it was previously, but now I
Right.
think
Yeah.
it's more acceptable, and yeah, people have got the right kit to be able to set up and to be able to work anywhere, which ultimately makes them more productive because you've got less traveling time and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. That's been really interesting and useful, I think, Rebecca. Thank you ever so much for that.
Thank you.
So, Boardroom Buddies listeners, I hope you've enjoyed that episode of the podcast. Perhaps you've already got health and safety in place. Perhaps there are some things that Rebecca said that might keep you awake tonight. So, for that bit of peace of mind, how do people get in touch with you, Rebecca?
Yes, yeah, so they can email me, rebecca@zebrasafety.co.uk, or they can give me a ring on my mobile or on the landline as well. So all of our details are on our website, which is
Yeah.
zebrasafety.co.uk.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much. So, thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and I look forward to speaking to you again at the next one.
I do hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. Do subscribe for more podcasts, and it would be lovely if you shared it on your favourite podcast platform. If you have any questions or you would like to talk any more on the topic, then do connect with me on LinkedIn or email me on jax, that's jax, @jackiecasey.consulting. And thanks for listening.